The Athletic.
Straight out of Cobham, the Chelsea FC podcast from The Athletic. This is your weekly destination for the very best Blues analysis from The Athletic's men in the know. Today, we're talking about, well, you know full well what we're talking about, Frank Lampard, no longer Chelsea head coach. We'll tell you why. Available for free wherever you get your podcasts and ad-free on The Athletic, this is Straight Out of Cobham. Hello, listener. Hope you're well. Matt Davis Adams here with take two of this week's show. We just started our Monday morning record when news of Frank Lampard's impending departure broke. Handily, I've got the three chaps with me who've been at the forefront of this story over the last few weeks. They are Simon Johnson.
Hello.
Dominic Fifield.
Hello.
And from the world of confirmation biases, it's Liam Toomey.
Hello.
Hello. So the seemingly inevitable finally came to pass on Monday. Chelsea confirming the departure of Frank Lampard after a season and a half as Chelsea head coach. The Athletic's been on top of this story for some time. I'd encourage all our listeners to read the big breakdown of the big breakup. Simon's led the way on that one. It's a signature Athletic piece. Loads of detail you won't find anywhere else. Truly outstanding reporting. We know Lampard's a subscriber. If you'd like to be too, head to theathletic.com/ChelseaPod and sign up for just £3.99 a month for the first 6 months. Listen, we've got to drive these subs, Dom. That's the key thing here. First impressions then, Dom, I'll let you go first. How did you feel? How did you react when you heard the news, which you broke to the rest of us?
I'm not sure reading Twitter is breaking news. I've said that on another podcast already today. How did I feel? Well, look, as you said there was a sense of inevitability about it increasingly. I think for me, having witnessed that Leicester game firsthand last week, that really was a bit of an eye-opener for me just to see it firsthand, just to see how the team was struggling and labouring as much as they were. Yes, every team can have poor performances, and I know people pointed that out when we discussed it subsequently, but they looked rudderless in that match, and I think probably that was the final nail in the coffin, really. But how did I feel when the news broke? Sad, because Frank Lampard will always remain an icon at Chelsea for his playing days, and I think that there were elements of he put good work in as a manager, not least with the bringing through the academy kids and establishing them in the first team. He did a great job last season, but there is a sense of sorrow that it's ended like this, quite prematurely. But you know, but it's not a surprise. This is how Chelsea operate. Going back all the way to 2007, it's pretty much a 2-year, 3-year at most cycle with managers. And that's what's happened again. As soon as they start, the team starts misfiring and Champions League football is jeopardised, the board tends to act and, you know, a leopard never changes its spots.
Simon, like me, you've been covering Chelsea for a number of years, so this is not our first rodeo when it comes to managerial changes. But this one does feel more seismic because of Lampard's status as a player. And that's something that's underlined by the fact that Roman Abramovich has effectively signed his P45 by putting his name to the statement which went on the Chelsea website, which I believe is a first.
It is a first, yeah. And I think that underlines, not only, and he sort of says it himself in the statement, the relationship the two of them have. But I think Chelsea and Abramovich wanted to underline the utter respect that Lampard is still held in. And I think that is why they've rightly done this the way they have done in terms of this statement. But You have to take emotion out of it. If this was anyone else other than Frank Lampard, would the Chelsea fans be as supportive of what's going on right now? Were they as supportive when Maurizio Sarri was going through a very bad run exactly the same time of year 2 years ago? I remember being at the games and them calling for his head and you don't know what you're doing, etc., etc. Now, it's totally understandable why there are a lot of Chelsea fans upset about this, but for the last few months, it's not just been the results, it's been the manner of the performances. And then when you go into the level of detail we've gone into and you hear about the sheer level of unrest behind the scenes, the sort of the lack of tactical instruction, it's very sad, but you can understand why Chelsea have made this decision, especially when you think that by the time they play on Wednesday night, they'll have dropped down another place in the league table because either Southampton or Arsenal will have overtaken them, depending on whatever the result is between them. Top four is becoming, whilst they're still within points range, there's an awful lot of clubs to overtake. Plus, the way they're playing, you can't see them sort of turning this around. So, am I surprised? Not with all the information that we've been gathering for months now.
So, we generally agree that the Leicester game was the final straw. As Simon mentioned, there's stuff going on behind the scenes that certainly I wasn't aware of, Liam. Fallouts with senior players. Now, I think we got a hint of this with Marcos Alonso and Tony Rudiger, but the fact that Lampard was supposedly cold with certain members of the squad was a bit of a surprise for me. Somebody only recently having retired from playing, maybe a lazy assumption on my part, but you thought building relationships with players would be one of his strengths.
Yeah, and I think it highlights as much as anything how different a challenge it is trying to navigate, you know, a top-level dressing room when you're the manager as opposed to a senior player. Because, as you say, there aren't many people on this planet that would have had more experience of being in elite football dressing rooms and knowing how they work and the kind of dynamics socially that are at play than Frank Lampard. He spent his entire career virtually in those situations. But when you're the manager, people look at you differently. They expect different things of you. You have to act differently than if you were just one of the players. And, you know, certain players felt like they were ignored for months. There was a perception that Lampard only really dealt with the players that he liked and trusted. And that long term is a dynamic that pretty much no manager can succeed in.
Let's get to some listener questions. Here's Neil writing, why did the club wait until after the cup game to make the decision with only 2 days until a crucial game against Wolves rather than after the Leicester game with essentially a free hit of Luton? Also, why did the club agree to the Tomori deal if Frank was being sacked? Simon, it does feel like that after the Leicester game wouldn't have been the logical time to do it. Is it something to do with the replacement as to why the delay was there, or was there a willingness to give him a third chance?
No, absolutely. It was all about the replacement, and look, no club is going to, or no, Chelsea can be accused of many things, but even they're not silly enough to get rid of a manager without having the replacement lined up. And that is why when we wrote the original news story at the beginning of the month and we were talking about Frank's position being under threat, people were demanding more detail, etc. It is because the negotiation process and talking to various candidates was underway, and until they could get the man they really wanted, and there were quite a few names discussed, and as Dom and I wrote in a piece last week, it was very much leaning towards a German-speaking coach, but it was a tough process in terms of could they get the man they wanted to take over now? Because it's a very attractive job, but it's also quite a difficult one in terms of sort of taking over mid-season. You know, some managers may want to sort of wait a while, and I think Thomas Tuchel, who of course is going to replace Lampard, needed some convincing of that, but that's why it's sort of happened now. The Leicester game, as we kind of infer in the piece, was the time when Frank Lampard, he knew his days were numbered. He walked around the dressing room, shaking hands with players, thanking them for their efforts. He knew it was a matter of when, not if, but it was just a matter of when Chelsea could get this, get Tuchel over the line. As for Tomori, I just think Tomori, you can't forget that Tomori was pushing for this too. He's sort of been around Chelsea long enough now where he's worried about his playing time. And perhaps just thought the best thing for him, regardless of the manager situation, is to get out and play. And don't forget, with Tuchel coming in, this is going to be great news for Rudiger. It might not necessarily be great news for the likes of Tomori.
We'll get to Tuchel shortly. I just want to finish up on Frank Lampard. Don, what do you think his legacy is as Chelsea manager? What's he going to be remembered for the most?
Mason Mount, Tammy Abraham, Reece James, Billy Gilmore. I mean, the succession of young players that were offered their chance, that got Chelsea through an awkward season last year where not many people thought they would qualify for the Champions League and finish in that top four, and they did. Yeah, there were some dodgy patches along the way, but they achieved it in a difficult season. I think the general tone of the academy, those around the academy, were enthused by Lampard's original appointment. The fact that he was flanked by Jodie Morris, who'd worked so much with the academy. And I think that enthusiasm was justified on that basis. You know, yes, you can argue that the likes of Kepa and even Kai Havertz, to a certain extent, their valuations probably have dropped quite a fair bit this season in particular, and that has cost Chelsea money, although those players can be rebuilt potentially. But Lampard has left Chelsea with 3, 4, 5, 6 players, young players, who have now had prolonged periods in that first team, have played European football in the Champions League, and their value will have soared as a result, and their careers can still soar as a result.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Are you stuck at home, bored of Netflix, and realise there's a reason people only play Scrabble once a year? Well, The Athletic is coming to your rescue. With the help of our friends at Prostate Cancer UK, we'll be putting on 31 football quizzes across February and March to find our most knowledgeable subscriber and, of course, to raise money for a very important cause. Prostate Cancer UK help fund life-saving research and provide valuable support and information for men and their partners affected or worried about prostate cancer. We'll be encouraging you to donate money on the night for a great cause. We'll be running a quiz for every team we cover, plus one each for the Bundesliga, Serie A and La Liga. The winners of each quiz will go through to our grand final at the end of March, where there's a very nice £1,000 up for grabs, and we'll match this with a donation to Prostate Cancer UK. The quizzes will be hosted by the correspondent for that club or league, and you'll be able to team up with anyone in your household to play. Sign up for a free 30-day trial with The Athletic at theathletic.com/PCUK and register to play the quiz. That's theathletic.com/PCUK. So there's this game coming up against Wolves on Wednesday. Liam, do we know who's going to be picking the team for that? Is Tuchel going to have something to do with it? Will it be one of the staff left behind? We hear Jodie Morris is leaving with Frank. You'd expect the other coaches to go too.
It's not entirely clear yet in terms of the time frame of Tuchel coming in, but we do know there's a desire at Chelsea to have him in place for the Wolves game on Wednesday. Now, what form that takes is another question, whether he has time to actually take some training and stand on the touchline, or whether he's just overseeing things and then properly starting, you know, for the Burnley game, we'll see. But Chelsea want him in as soon as possible. It's a big reason why they took this decision now, because they didn't have any confidence in Lampard's ability to deliver results in the next two Premier League games and beyond that. And they wanted to give Tuchel as much time to turn around what they perceived to be a season that was in danger of being lost.
So as Simon and Liam have said, Thomas Tuchel, seemingly the man who's coming in, not confirmed at the time of recording, our colleague Rafa Honigstein reporting, Tuchel understood to currently be in Germany, subject to a negative COVID test. He should arrive in the UK in the next 48 hours. Simon, he wasn't the only contender, though, was he? There were a couple of other German-speaking and indeed German managers who were considered.
Yeah, for sure. Ralf Rangnick, of course, Julian Nagelsmann, who was on the Plan B list as far as long ago as last sort of this time last year, when Pochettino was also already being earmarked as a possible contender. I know that there were certainly admiring glances cast at the Austrian, but still German-speaking, Ralf Hasenhüttl, for the job he's done at Southampton. And as sort of the piece that Dom and I did about German-speaking, sort of explaining why they were going down this route, is because of the manner in which these guys operate and the sort of the Jurgen Klopp effect. The really interesting thing is that Thomas Tuchel is the one they've chosen, because he, out of all of them, is perhaps the most combatable, or certainly has shown that he's not shy to speak his mind. So one does have to wonder if the club can maintain harmony within its ranks, or are we just going to see a repeat of this situation in 18 months' time? But, of course, a lot depends on results, as it always does at Chelsea Football Club.
Dom, do you think he would have been first choice if he was still in a job?
No. I think it's a remarkable appointment for the reasons that Simon's just outlined, really. This is a... obviously he can learn from his experiences at PSG, where there were issues with the hierarchy. You'd like to think he could learn from them anyway. But to me, instinctively, this looks like an accident waiting to happen in terms of a combative, volatile coach. Yes, brilliant with what he did at Borussia Dortmund and the success he enjoyed at PSG, getting PSG to the Champions League final last season, together with all their domestic honours. But he will grate. He will fight his corner. He will have disagreements with the hierarchy. And if Chelsea's hierarchy fall out with Frank Lampard, who is a club icon and someone that is completely at ease in these surroundings, then surely this is going to be more like the Conte situation or you know, Mourinho at his spiky best back in 2006, 2007. I mean, it just seems inevitable that there will be fractured moments ahead. And I'm putting that kindly. Let's hope there's a honeymoon period first, that we get to enjoy some success and he can continue. We can certainly put Chelsea back on the right path after this recent run. But I really don't see anywhere other than this going towards issues between hierarchy and manager eventually.
Dom, shall we start working on the long read now then?
Listeners, he's been working on that for about 10 minutes, that joke.
You give me too much credit.
Just finally, to follow up on what Dom said, I think, you know, the way this has all ended with Lampard, I think it does bear a serious question of Chelsea as to whether there is actually a coach anywhere in Europe who could work for a sustained period of time in this club, this unique club culture. Because if Lampard, who, okay, he's inexperienced, it was inevitable that he was going to make mistakes on and off the pitch here and there and maybe mishandle certain situations, but he did have an existing relationship with Roman Abramovich. He had an existing relationship with Marina Granovskaya. He was teammates for about a decade with Petr Cech and won everything there was to win. And he was so recently a player that, you know, he could relate to a lot of the players he was managing. If he couldn't find a way to actually have a sustainable future in this job and see out his contract, it's fair to wonder if there is a coach out there who can do it.
Maybe when he comes back for his second spell in a few years' time, that'll be the one that fits.
This is a paid advertisement from BetterHelp Therapy Online. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Maybe you go for a run, or take a nap, or read a book. Maybe you just luxuriate in doing absolutely nothing. Many of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your daily schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a licensed therapist. And if things don't click, you can switch to someone new at any time with no additional charge. BetterHelp provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise with no referral needed. And because you listen to this podcast, you can get 10% off your first month of online therapy by heading to betterhelp.com/cobham. That's BETERHELP.com/cobham. COBHAM.
A couple more on Tuchel before we go. First of all, we're going to need to work out whether it's Tuchel or Tuchel. Hopefully he'll be kind enough to tell us that. Liam, your specialist subject, Kai Havertz, how big a factor the form of him and Timo Werner? And actually, I would put Christian Pulisic in this category as well at the moment, because he's been way below his best. How big a factor in choosing Tuchel as those three players been? Because, of course, he had Pulisic at Dortmund, didn't he?
Yeah, well, it was obviously Simon and Dom wrote that excellent piece last week on why Chelsea's next manager was likely to speak German. And I think, you know, that was the headline, but I think there was slightly more nuance to the situation in that it's not Tuchel's German language skills which are the deciding factor here. I mean, Havertz and Werner both speak very good English, so that is not necessarily the issue. I think the priority, and it's certainly not the only priority, one of the things that's been stressed to me even today is that while, you know, Havertz and Werner might be significant considerations because they were the two marquee signings of the last transfer window, and their underperformance has been one of the main themes of this season, it wasn't the only reason. You don't make a decision that affects an entire squad based on any two players. But I think the fact that Tuchel, Nagelsmann, Rangnick, these are all guys that come from the German school of coaching. They speak the same football language as much as, you know, German or English, as the culture of football that Havertz and Werner have come from. And I think that has been a consideration here. There's no denying that. But fundamentally, they're hiring Tuchel because they think he's a very good coach who can make an immediate impact.
Something a lot of listeners have got in touch with us about, with a slightly concerned tone to their tweets, is the futures of the academy players. Here's Chelsea Time asking, what are his views on our academy players, James, Mount, Callum, etc.? Is their game time in jeopardy? It's a difficult one, Simon, isn't it? Because obviously the key thing is getting into the top four, and a new manager might decide that experienced players are the way to go to achieve that. But then you look at his record with that Dortmund team. Initially, it was full of young players. It could go either way, couldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you're right to say, Matt, that it is too early to say. And essentially, everyone's on trial now. But you would have to sort of suspect that there's going to be a very strong German spine to this team. I'd be amazed if Tony Rudiger doesn't suddenly find himself back in the team. With Havertz and Werner as well. And then Christian Pulisic, obviously his relationship with Tuchel is from the past. So I would imagine there are a lot of academy boys that are worried, for sure. But then if you're someone like Mason Mount, who wore the captain's armband on Sunday, how short-lived was that glorious moment for him? I'm sure he's gutted right now, given the relationship he has with Lampard. But given the way he's played, and Reece James, for example, they must sort of think, look, maintain these standards and he will have to continue to pick us, because those two, I mean, Reece James has looked a bit ropey since he came back from injury, but those two generally have been two of Chelsea's best performers. But they're going to have to show it probably now more than ever in training, because they know that the guy that was most willing to pick them, and his assistants, of course, Jody Morris and Joe Edwards, aren't going to be having their say anymore.
The thing to say about Tuchel in this regard is that, you know, when he was at Borussia Dortmund, he did play younger players. But Borussia Dortmund is a club that has a long-standing institutional commitment to developing young talent. Chelsea doesn't have that. You know, that commitment came from Lampard. He created the pathway from the academy to the first team. And so if that commitment is going to be made now, it will have to come from Tuchel. But, I think, following on from what Simon said, I think it's understandable that quite a few of the academy boys will be slightly concerned right now. But when you're talking about people like Mason Mount and Reece James and Tammy Abraham, I think their mentality will probably be that they will be approaching this as established first team players now, and that they will feel that they've got as good a chance as anyone to impress Tuchel and make themselves important to him.
Surely the new manager picks the players who are in form. I mean, that's his, what he's going to, that's going to be his instinct initially. Yes, he might he might go with a with Rudiger and Thiago Silva, who he knows and he admired in previous roles. But those guys are in the team anyway at the moment in the Premier League side. Tammy Abraham's just scored a hat trick. He's riding the crest of a wave. He'll presumably be in with as good a chance as anyone that's starting up front in the week. And I'm quite interested that in Frank Lampard's last two games, he sort of changed it to a 4-2-3-1 and attempted to use Havertz and then Werner as a 10 or a second striker, almost as a desperate last-ditch attempt to show that he maybe could get something out of those two players. But surely those are the same tactics that Tuchel will use as well, that he'll try and tap into what Werner offers. The thing that intrigues me is that I wonder what the atmosphere would have been like at Stamford Bridge on Wednesday night had there been fans there. Would we have been going back to a sort of Sunderland at home following the last mid-season sacking of a Chelsea manager back in late 2015 with Jose Mourinho, and you know, the rats and the placards and the snakes and all that business and the people taking it out on the players and indeed on the board. I mean, it would have been intriguing to see, to feel, experience that atmosphere on Wednesday night had there been fans present.
I think the people or the players that should be most worried, or certainly I'm most worried for, are the ones that haven't had a chance to establish themselves. The development squad ones, the ones that were really starting to knock on the door. We're talking sort of the Lewis Bates, Tino Angerins, who's played a few times, so on and so forth. I could go through, there's a long list of them. Livermento, Soonsup Bell, etc. Those are the ones that you sort of think they haven't had a chance to play for Chelsea yet. They haven't had a chance to forge their reputation. And now Tuchel's going to be in the same position as all Chelsea managers that have been in the past. This pressure of being a top four club. I know Chelsea will be sort of saying that isn't the reason, there were other factors involved, but top four football is a must for Chelsea. They're a club that in the last 5 years, 6 years have been in and out of the competition, or certainly not thrived in the competition. You have to worry about how they're going to play against Atletico Madrid in the last 16 as things stand. But yeah, I do sort of fear what kind of message this will send out to the academy, who have enjoyed the best sort of era over the last 18 months, simply because there was that joined up thinking between first team and the youth side.
Yeah, that's just one of the many elements of this story, which are going to be fascinating to see how they develop. One thing is for certain, it is never dull following Chelsea Football Club. Okay, that's just about it for this week. At this point, we'd normally talk about what the chaps are writing, but I think we can make a reasonable assumption about what the subject matter will be over the next week. Remember, if you're not currently a subscriber to The Athletic, you can sign up now for just £3.99 a month for the first 6 months. Just go to theathletic.com/ChelseaPod. Many thanks again for your company today, listener. If you like what you hear and you'd like to rate, review and subscribe, that would be tremendous. It also helps other Chelsea fans to find us. My thanks to Dom, to Simon, Liam and to producer Adonis. We'll be back same time next week. For now, though, from all of us here, it's goodbye.
The Athletic.